Time for another Do Not God or Google is Evil video presentation. Seems I forgot to load what I need to load here, so I have to do that. Sorry. It's always something. You know, life is complicated. Shouldn't really be, but it is. Alright, so I think I will be playing another one of these Christopher 7 videos. Just for the trigger words, I think, more than anything else. Because the problem here is okay, there's this whatever's the event of us being here, being human, being thinking beings, being able to talk about what we're thinking, compare what we're thinking, make arguments about whether somebody's thinking stupid or crazy, versus thinking correctly. And in assessing a circumstance. Now, I'm arguing the circumstance is something very similar to, now it's not identical, okay? So I'm not saying it's the same thing. I'm just saying you could compare it in some ways to the circumstance that might arise where, say, you're in a Disney movie and you have a dog called Old Yeller, he gets rabies. No. And, it's a fatal disease, and it's really dangerous and lots of stuff. So the argument could be made that there could be players in the movie who are concerned with different things. One might be concerned that this is a terrible threat, okay, to the future. Okay, so it's going to attack the us's, and it's a them. It needs to be taken care of, eradicated, or whatever, because it's a threat. And somebody else might have the precision that, well, it's suffering and, it needs to be rescued from its suffering. I need to, save it from unnecessary suffering. It can't shoot itself, so I have to go out and do this horrible thing. Let's say I'm the character who the dog happens to be my best friend and it's suffering and I have to do the right thing and it's very horrible, Everybody could understand how horrible that would be. Is say you have a wife and she's dying and, she's begging you to kill her and, you can't get more grisly as for most of us anyway. I mean, some people, who cares? Everything is a big joke. But for most humans, they could sort of understand how this is just, horrible. And that's the position I'm saying we're in as a human race here. Being the smartest creature on the planet, we have to be the parent and all that kind of stuff. And we have to take inventory for all the shit that's going on. We have to manage the children and all this nonsense. And it's just a fact. That's our role. So it's another fact, right, that's our role, and it's a fact that some people will dispute, and they'll say, no, it's really their God's business. God is running the show, blah, 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 blah. And we don't have anything to do with it, and we just have to be obedient to the word and all of that, frankly, baby talk nonsense, silly. Which way should I go? I guess I should go this way a little bit. Anyway, so I guess all these videos, years of videos attempting to explain a philosophical perspective that's merely acknowledging we're not doing whatever the show would be. We're doing Old Yeller. We're doing the tough movie. We're not in, what's that one, supercalifragilisticy movie. We're not go fly a kite and everything's okay, right? Because daddy just has some issues. Grumpy old man or something. No, we got bigger problems than grumpy old man. And, it's just a fact. Sorry. But it's a fact, again, that you have to argue on this planet because there's lots of people that have their own little perspective and blah, 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 blah. So there is this idea of having a conversation. They have talk about enlightened people. And, what's that new term they use? Woke. Sure they are. And know, there's a whole philosophy tied to this, and it's all become a right-left thing now, too. And so lots of these perspectives are just stupid and just has to do, you know, it's like it's really wrong to only see the rabid dog as a threat to society. And it's just as wrong to see it the only thing existing is the welfare of the dog. Those are both wrong answers in a way. The more complete answer is to understand it's intractable for both reasons. That there's no good, better answer to the problem because for both of these reasons. If there was a way to mitigate the dog's pain but leave him to be a menace, that wouldn't be an answer. And likewise, if you eliminated his menacingness, you know, tie him up like they did, actually, you know, contain his threat, you're not doing the dog any favor. You're just making him a slave to the disease. And the fact that you found a method of fixing it that really is unsatisfactory. So you could argue that this can get into some sort of argument about crime and punishment, and you know, it's a half answer, you know, it's a half answer to let the assholes go and free again because they're a threat, they're crazy, they murdered once, they'll probably do it again. And it's a fact that the probably word isn't too far off. I mean, there's a high likelihood that they'll just go out and do the same shit they were doing before. Obviously they like it, duh. And so that's not an answer for society. And then society's answer of, well, just chain them up. You know, let them sit there and, you know, live a harsh, brutal, cruddy existence isn't much of an answer either. So it doesn't solve the problem. All right. So somebody left a comment on the website. And, you know, comparing me to Buddhism again. And, of course, I just hate that comparison. Because Buddhism doesn't do anything all that, you know. There's nothing sophisticated, all right, in the philosophy. So recognizing that, holy shit, this is a meat grinder, that's not much, frankly, of a philosophical bit of enlightenment. It's not that hard to figure out there's a bunch of unnecessary, undeserved hardship on planet Earth. Oh, duh. And their solution is find an exit strategy for yourself. So that, you know, we know the problem isn't ourselves. You know, we know if you're here and you're repulsed and disgusted, you're not the first one, and you won't be the last one, and that's the catch. So the threat is to the future, in the sense they're going to have to keep arriving here on Earth, like me, an alien, arrives here on Earth, and they're going to observe that, holy shit, I've landed in hell. And, you know, over and over and over again. And it's going to take them a while to figure it all out, because they're going to be told a bunch of propaganda to make, oh, it's silver linings, and oh, everything works out for the best, and happily ever after. You know, they'll be told a lot of crap that doesn't have anything to do with reality, and they have to fight through all that crap to get to the simple little truth that, oh, it's a shithole. Oh, it's a steaming piece of actual shit. Oh, okay, I get it now. So that's not much. You can't really call that enlightenment. I mean, but duh. It's almost so obvious. I mean, it's all around you. You see it happen to your own family members. You see the deserve has nothing to do with it. You see it show up and, you know, stick needles in their eyes and shit. You know, and then some of it actually happens to you. And, you know, you get a few needles in the wrong place. And you figure out that, fuck, I didn't sign up for this shit. So, not much of a frickin' philosophy, in my opinion. Because it has absolutely no, I mean, it doesn't consider the thing as a thing. And it doesn't just simply say, well, let's just discontinue it. Let's quit feeding it. And it'll go away. You know, if we don't put quarters in the machine, it won't do its little crap. It won't make noises and nothing will happen and it'll go away. So let's quit feeding it. Let's just stop making more of it. And obviously to me, that's the more enlightened solution to the problem. get rid of the threat to the future, and mitigate where you can the pain and suffering of the present. There, bingo, right answer. So, and Buddhism doesn't come anywhere near the right answer. It doesn't do either one. It doesn't fix the threat to the future, and it doesn't do anything about the pain and suffering now. So, kind of useless. So, I don't want to be called a Buddhist, because they don't have an answer. Again, the whole story is just basically, okay, life sucks. I figure this out. I am enlightened. How do I prevent, you know, because they believe they're going to reincarnate as something more than just a, a production model. Comes off the assembly line in a certain condition with certain capabilities. So, you know, if the computer can go beep, 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 or it can go boop, boop, beep, 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 you know, it can do different things, but you know, it's really possible if you're going beep, 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 that another computer is going to be made that goes beep, beep, beep. So it's, you know, same difference, right? So that's the only kind of reincarnation there is that obviously some things will be in the same general condition, and they'll draw the same general conclusions and be in the same process of making videos on YouTube trying to explain themselves. I mean, the same thing's going to happen again. Obviously, the future will be a little different. It'll be called "Fuck YouTube," or something, because the capitalists will, blah 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 blah, turn everything into shit. But anyway, so the reoccurrence is a fact, and the Buddhist solution again is this single-player attitude: jump in a fire, and you'll be immune. You don't have to come back and be a maggot. Or one of the other squiggly things that's going to get brutalized, in milliseconds of its arrival here on Earth. Horror. So anyway. Yeah, so it's, there's different, so there's this, the main conclusion is, it's bad. And stopping bad is a good thing. So, yes, that's what we're trying to do. Prevent bad. That's the whole point. That's the conclusion. You stop bad by preventing bad. Or unplugging bad. Discontinuing bad. Closing down bad. Lots of ways to stop it from continuing to be bad. And you can have ways that are aggressive. Pulling the plug. Or you can have ways that are less aggressive where, let's sit in the corner and rust until it doesn't work anymore. Something like that. But that's not as significant an argument as the argument about, let's fix the rabbit dog problem. All right. So the conclusion is valuable. Rabbit dog in the shed. What do we do? So recognizing there's a rabid dog in the shed is the important conclusion. So yes, Buddhists do get that right. They do recognize, there's too much suffering. But their solution is retarded. They're not even coming close to the right answer. They're walking into the wall and saying, there, I'll walk into the wall. How's that? Does that fix it? No, it doesn't fix it. It doesn't do anything helpful. Useless, really. Just terribly useless. I'll put pillows under the dog's paws, and there, that'll fix it, right? A few pillows under his paws, there, we solved the problem, right? No. So anyway, so that's the context. There's different ways to get there. So it's part of the point I wanted to make is that, you know, people can get to the same conclusion for reasons that aren't the same reasons. Some people want to, let's punish the criminal because he's dangerous. And some people say, let's punish the criminal because he's black. or some kind of stupid thing. So, yeah, obviously people can come to the same conclusion, but come to it for moronic reasons and, illogical ones. So they can see the same ghost, but, they're seeing it for different reasons, blah, 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 blah. All right. So I think that's enough of a preface to what the mission here is just trying to explain this old Yeller circumstance that we're in. And that, there's nobody else to fix it but us. So we have to first get other people to recognize, first off, we all have to fix it because one of us can't fix it. If we're going to pull the plug out, it's going to take a lot of us. It's a big giant plug and, more than one of us has to pull it. So that's the context. If I could just fix all of this by myself, and I could just do it by, you know, voodoo words, I say the magic words and blah, everything's fixed, that would be so much easier. But that's not how it works. I have to convince a bunch of other people to vote the same way and all say, okay, let's not keep funding the bad experiment. And that's all this really is. It's just a bad experiment, and it should be wind down. You know, it's time for the government to stop making the torture machine. So we should all vote to, yes, let's stop making torture. Really stupid. Let's not do that. Let's not invest in it. And you're just basically saying, let's decommission it. That's a good word, right? So I'm for life decommissioning. You know, because it doesn't do anything good. It's just rabid dog over and over and over again. All right. So in that context, leave us play this video. I have not watched it yet, and I don't hear any sound, which is really not good, because I already started this damn video, and shit. Yeah. So my speakers are dead. Ah, yes, I think I had a power issue. Okay, so I just have to figure out how to fix that with this here button. And then I hit this here button. And I should be okay now. All right. Let's see. So that volume's high enough. This volume needs to be lower, I believe. Okay, so should be ready. Nope. All right. So I still have short of success. So we'll have to go one more step, I guess. So I have to take a pause and get the goddamn thing working. All right. I believe everything is the way it needs to be. So I don't know exactly who Christopher Seven's talking to. You know, could be his brother. Who knows? You know, so it's, you know, but the title is Focus, and focus is a very good word. You know, it's the whole idea is that you really can't do this thinking thing unless you're doing thinking. You know, thinking has to be in your thinking if it's going to be thinking. And focusing is essentially a kind of thinking where you're trying to whittle out all the other influences and just see one little piece of it and see how it works. So you're basically looking at the foaming dog mouth part, and you're just trying to focus on one part and be sure of your diagnosis. Is it rabies, or did he eat a bar of soap? You know, that kind of joke. Yeah. So first you want to make sure it has rabies, and then you can move on to your, you know, what do I do now kind of questions.
Religious people, some religious people will claim that believing in God gives you purpose.
All right, believing in God gives you purpose. Well, it clearly does. I mean, but, you know, in the sense that it gives you, okay, some sort of idea of purpose. But obviously what it does to you is make you stupid and retarded. So it just completely makes you dysfunctional. So it doesn't do anything. You know, there's no positive influence beyond the fact that your delusion is very convenient for you personally. But it's not going to do the world any favors. So as an absolute fact, okay, it's rabies. But it's the kind of rabies where you feel all happy, you know. So, I mean, you have the sickness, but the sickness isn't foaming at the mouth and feeling horrible pain and being psychotic. The sickness is you become a glib, silly, you know, torture-endorsing lunatic. You know, you almost mock suffering in the world because everybody is supposed to bow to it and say, thank you, Jesus, for my suffering. Yeah, horrible.
That the reason that a Christian is a Christian is for their life to have meaning.
Right. So, obviously, the selfishness comes into all of this, and that's the biggest, hardest part of the whole conversation. Is people are selfish. We're all individual little fish, and we're going to try to, you know, make the environment as comfortable for us as possible. And it's so easy to cheat our way out of the horror, you know. And that's all, so we do it because we can. You know, it's really burdensome. to care about other people, right? So the more people you know, and if you really care about them, like they're really your dog, like, you know, your kid or something, if you think of the world as not my kids, but any kid, then you're going to constantly worry because, you know, that kid doesn't, you know, he's going bad. Somebody's got to fix him, or he's going to end up in a bad place. You know, he's on the drugs, you know. You can see all kinds of disasters just, you know, boiling, you know, they're bubbling, you know, it's being cooked. The disaster is in the process of being created. And, well, that'd be a hell of a burden to take responsibility for all this and actually feel their pain and go through all that crap. So, yeah, we evade it because, fuck, it's not convenient. It's not fun. So, you know, we... Again, if we had to actually feel the pain, if we had to actually, you know, love other humans, you know, everybody talks about love, 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 and they don't really give a shit about other humans because obviously they can watch them horrifically be ruined and they get over it, you know, pretty quick. Where if it was their brother, they wouldn't get over it so goddamn quick. You know, if it was their mother, their father. So clearly our subjective personal interest is always attempting to corrupt every frickin' bit of us, and it has to be constantly fought against. We have to be constantly diligent to find our hypocrisies and our duplicities. Giantly important thing. And another problem that just there is no easy solution to. It's just not easy to be clean in a dirty world. Clean with a dirty mind, let's even say. You know, if I ask you to have clean thoughts, as soon as I say clean thoughts, you're going to think dirty thoughts, and then you're going, all this dirty thought is going to pop in your head, you know, a bunch of, you know, whatever, pornography.
And for me to say that there is no God, or I see no reason to believe in God, or you know, that,
well, just to recognize that it's such a gap answer, right? It's, oh, I don't have an answer, therefore I'll create the best possible scenario because I can't see. So you're looking in the fog and you say, what's in behind the fog? And, you know, so instead of making a monster, you make some sort of nice thing, you know, that's going to look out for you and all this kind of crap. So you just make up a story that you like. Now, religions are shaped in all kinds of ways, in the sense that all kinds of people with power and control, they shape the religion in all kinds of different ways to try to pretend that, okay, let's make them think they're rebels and they're fighting the man and they're, blah, 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 you know, as part of the story and, you know. So there is a lot of psychological game playing in terms of what metaphors and stories you put in the religion and to make everybody feel like, to make people feel a certain way about what's going on, and to make certain kinds of excuses for it and all that kind of crap. But they're really just, you know, when you look at it, you know, they're really ancient, silly stories, and they've just been poorly told into the future and changed in little silly ways, and they don't make any sense. You know, go rape a woman and then you can marry her, you know. Because in the old days, I guess the idea was is that you were going to be financially tied to some one particular woman. So having a woman meant you were, it was your burden, okay, to provide for her, you know, kind of thing. And so women were perceived not as, you know, equal contract negotiators, but as a kind of property. And all that mattered was is whether you maintain the property, you know, and then you can own it. So as long as you do the minimum and, you know, not catch fire to the property, you know, you're covered. Well, anyway, just stupid, you know, old stories, not really relevant, and just a bunch of nonsense. I mean, it's just made up. Just obviously just made up mush. No real evidence that any such thing could possibly even, there's no even physics explanation, there's no anything explanation that makes it a viable explanation, a viable description of reality. It has no elements of a viable description of reality. And it has all the elements of nonsense and mush and silly talk.
And I ask, well, then what's the point? What's the purpose? And I can't give them that. But because I've...
If they have to have a purpose, that is, if they can't accept that it's evolution and it's just a process and we're just organisms designed by the universe and its particular circumstances on Earth, and this is how it all worked out, then I guess they just can't do the thinking thing, because there's no brick walls against that. There's no even subjective wall against that, unless you've already built the wall by saying, I will accept no theory that, you know, imposes any burdens on me at all. So, you know, unless you're so selfish and so self-interested that you won't even listen to an explanation that doesn't make you special, not much you can do about that. I mean, that's an intractable breaking of logic. When facts don't matter, you know, okay, well, that's a rabid dog in a way. That's a threat, frankly. A human to whom which facts are no longer relevant, that's a dangerous human.
Observed a thing doesn't mean that I've caused the thing. For me to not observe, like, I think your purpose is whatever you choose your purpose to be.
Okay, so I gotta almost laugh. Like, okay, we could make it up. No. There's facts that'll define what we are. You know, you can statistically find out how informed you are. You can take a test. You know, see how many capitals of the world you know. There's just facts about how high you can jump and all kinds of stuff. It's all measurable. You can't just make it up, okay? There's a truth about what's here and how it got here. You can't just make it up. Choose your own truth. I mean, it's just bullshit. So one minute you're saying, well, I've done some reasoning and some thinking about the stories of Jesus and other, whatever they are, placeholders for the truth, and decided those placeholders for the truth are just made up stories. And they have no credibility, and there's no facts, and I can't really, you know, in any way intelligently examine them besides just say, you just made it up. I mean, okay, I could say Daffy Duck is the supreme poobah of the universe. I could say it, but is there any evidence? No. So, this idea of choosing, the whole point is to argue is that we decide based on the information we have. And if we're allowed to decide corruptly, you know, if everybody goes for it, you know, if everybody else agrees, let's pretend there's a sale at the store and it's 99% off. So all we have to do is throw some pennies on the floor and then run out with the goods. You know, everybody else is agreeing. Okay, yeah, let's pretend that's reality. And, you know, you show up at Walmart and, you know, start, you know, robbing the place. Because you all have a shared delusion, so it's okay. You know, that's all you're really saying is that by this choice thing, the choice is silly. We have to be obliged to defend our choice. Our decisions have to have, if they can't be bound to facts and logic, then they can't be legitimized by anyone as your right to choose. No, you don't have a right to choose to be an imbecile or a delusionary. You know, there should be a word, delusionary. You know, they're a thing. It's a thing in the world now, a delusionary. And they're the enemy, frankly. The delusionaries.
There is no external arbiter of your purpose. You know, there's no doll maker who made you to be Malibu Ken. You're who?
Kind of. Just as a side note, he apparently collects some, you know, memorabilia from America's whatever history. Just kind of funny. He has a little collectible Malibu Kens or some kind of, you know, whatever, G.I. Joe, some kind of little things that he collects, which is fine. Look, I used to collect stamps, you know. Yeah. No big deal. It's okay. Just ironic as a metaphor.
Whomever you choose to be. But there's this... So my video yesterday, one gentleman accused me of being a nihilist. You know, welcome. You're a nihilist. I don't know.
Well, that's the part. Like I said, you gotta, you know, you do have to defend the logic of what you're saying. And again, the words are, I'm happy. What's the problem? You know, that's sort of, you know, all we need to do is get to our little individual happy place. You know, just find some way to make it all go away. And it's all good. So if it's all good for you, it's all good or something. I mean, you know. So it's not technically nihilism, but it's right next door. Yeah.
I probably should have looked up the definition of nihilist. Just from what I understand, it's a person who feels that nothing matters.
Right, and that's sort of what you overtly kind of said. Okay, so it doesn't make any difference kind of arguments, when clearly it does make a difference. It's not all the same. Good isn't the same as bad, and torture isn't the same as happiness and all that kind of stuff. And it has to be accounted for. It doesn't just go away. You can't just pretend that, well, we don't have to do any accounting because everything dies, and when it dies, everything that happened to it is now irrelevant. No, it can't work that way. No. I would argue it can't logically work that way. That's not a logically viable theory, that merely because everybody's life ends, we don't have to recognize the price paid during its conscious period here on Earth. That would be like me saying the first 10 years of my life didn't happen, or the second 10 years, or the third 10 years, or the fourth 10 years, or the fifth 10 years. Oh, that's just getting scary, isn't it? Yeah. Or the sixth 10 years? Oh, shit. Anyway, I can't pretend they didn't happen. They're all part of the price paid for me being here. And whatever I did to the world in those decades is also part of the truth.
And I've said those words, but I think a nihilist is like, well, shit, I don't know, maybe I am. I don't know. I mean, you know, if labels...
Well, you're sort of fitting into what I would describe. I mean, you're, you know, conversing with other glibites, like the Piero, in some sort of, yeah, isn't it funny that these wackos are worried about anything? Everything's looking good. No problems here. And, you know, it just seems kind of silly. But anyway, just my impression.
Apply, then, I guess. Yeah, apply it to me. I don't know. I don't know if that fits. I know it has a negative connotation, so I...
It has a negative connotation to anybody who cherishes experience on planet Earth, conscious experience. If you cherish it and think every little bit of it is worthy of being saved from absolute torture, yes, then the world nihilist is really bad. I mean, that's shit for brain. You can't have gotten more of a wrong answer is if you don't care about either Old Yeller or society. And when you don't care about either one, you just say rabies, maybes, okay, then you're really out of the picture altogether. You're even dumber than a Buddhist.
I want to reject it, but I don't know. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. I don't know. But...
I'm guessing just the fact that you're having to posit the question and be uncertain is... Oh, I'm sorry. That sounds like the sickness to me.
From my perspective, I'm talking about focus.
I know, but you're just demonstrating you can't, you know, focus enough to even define whether you fit into a category that's rather well defined, nihilist. You know, value unengaged. Nihilists generally think that value is a projection. It's not a real thing. You know, it's like, I could say this tape is thin. I don't know. some word, something irrelevant. It has tree-ness. You know, I could say something about it. It doesn't have anything to do with what the tape really is, right? And so I'm just saying that, you know, that's the extreme of nihilism, is to sit there and to say that because consciousness takes place in a brain and it's just neurons, you know, it's just made out of mechanical stuff, that somehow it can't possibly be doing anything that could have value, when you're experiencing the value. You're experiencing the consciousness, and you're experiencing the fact that there's a huge cavern of difference. Okay, and the difference is in something called value. Value difference between a nail in your eye and a cupcake. I mean, it's just an insane amount of difference between those experiences. And so how can you be nihilistic and accept the fact that you're personally experiencing something that tells you there's a cavern of difference, and you're accepting a theory that says same thing? Torture is the same as. It's inert. It's just as meaningless as. No. Too silly. I'm sorry. That's just too silly. So I'm saying, you know, you can call your video focus, but I'm saying it seems to me that it's blurry. You're describing what it is to be blurry, not what it is to be focused.
If you focus in, it looks different than so a magnification of 100 times is different than a magnification of 2 times. Both are true. Both are reality. They're just, you see things different. You can engage with things differently.
You're engaging with what is basically a different part, right? I mean, a part of the bicycle wheel is not the bicycle. So you're no longer engaged with the thing you're actually looking at, because you're taking it apart, essentially. So by, and there's nothing unvaluable about that, but if we lived in a fractal universe or something where the bicycle was made out of little bicycles, well, then maybe that would have some utility. But the only utility it has is in understanding that the machine is a machine is a machine is a machine. So you can look at the planet Earth, and then you can look at the big things, and then you can whittle down to the little moving things, and then you can whittle down to microbes, and you can whittle down. But again, I don't think that gives you an excuse to say, well, because I can change my, what part of the system or what particular thing I'm looking at, you know, one little lion with a thorn in his paw, does that mean I've changed anything else I've already understand about what's taking place on the planet? And I just, no, it's for adding information, not subtracting. And it's certainly not, if you're going to use focus, you know, and you're saying it's one thing, I'm saying what focus is in some respects for people is blinders. That's just blinders. That's just saying I want to cut as much of reality out of the picture so I can just look at the candy bar. And then I can imagine me eating the candy bar, and that's reality. When that's not reality, that's a narrowed view that has nothing to do with focusing or understanding or learning, and has everything to do with cheating. Yeah, and yeah.
And as a person moves about the world, you can switch your point of view, because if you're focused all the way in, you will exhaust yourself. You will, you know, if you're engaged in a way where you're taking on board every little thing and every situation.
Well, let's just argue that you can't do that anyway. But there's clearly, you have to be like a doctor or some other kind of thing. I mean, there is a point where you have to be able to become a little bit personally nihilistic, in the sense that you have to have psychological mechanisms that enable you to endure, you know, some of this ugly, horrible stuff, and still eat your lunch. Okay, so you have to be able to departmentalize. So you're talking focus, and I think you're really talking about departmentalize. So there's times when you can have the real conversation about, like, the mechanics of sex. You can have a conversation about what the physical reality is, how many microbes you exchange with each other, all this other. You could have some technical conversation. And then you could just have the idea of, I'm going to have sex or something, and you don't want any of that technical crap. That's doesn't thinking about microbes and, you know, whatever, doesn't help you any in the other, you know, way you're looking. So, you know, you have to be able to departmentalize. So I guess the argument would be is there's points when you're going to be honest and a philosopher, and then there's points when you're just going to try to live your life. And those are different things to describe. But I would argue that your life must always be consistent with the things you're arguing for. So if you're arguing for something, okay, there should be some consistency. So one could argue, if somebody's going to argue about veganism or vegetarianism, they should at least be acknowledging that, oh yes, I've made some effort to become one of these things. But again, it wouldn't almost matter. You could departmentalize it so much that you can say that I am guilty of the crime. I'm a womanizer, but I'm against womanizing. You know, clearly you can be those persons. You can be a person who recognizes that, yes, I'm a little rapey, you know, and yeah, I got, you know, it's not a good thing. And they can admit it. You know, we all have those faults, you know, where, you know, there's an inconsistency between what we want to be and what we are. And it doesn't, that inconsistency is allowable. As long as there's full acknowledgement that if I was to recreate somebody or make a new one, I'm not going to make one that's got my brokenness. You know, as long as you're not endorsing your cheating, okay, it's okay to be a cheater, you know, to get through your life. But don't cheat the philosophy and pretend that the philosophy says it's okay to be a cheater. Because it really doesn't. It's just saying, well, if you can't do any better than that, okay, but it would be nicer that you paid the truth more respect. But if you can't, you can't. I mean, if you just, you know, if you can't manage it personally, if you're not personally comfortable with it, okay. But you should be able to say from your personal perspective that you endorse the better you, that that's the you you wish you were.
With no gradient of importance, or, you know, I mean, I that's, you know, who can fucking do that? But I'm just saying, like, there's a way to manage your energy where you will burn yourself out, or you will I don't know how a person can feel everything, you know. I mean, and that's
so, again, that's none of the necessity here. I think it really, you know, it really is easy for somebody, well, fairly easy, for somebody to have the technical knowledge and still play the game, you know, in a non-technical way, just enjoy kicking the ball or throwing the baseball. And even though they have all this physics knowledge about the exact perfect way to do everything, and it would be, you know, it'd be unpleasant to realize, you know, all that knowledge and to make all these judgments about how many flaws there was in everything you did because it wasn't perfect. So, I mean, but yeah, we see people that are, you know, I was in some way crippled by it in my youth, perfectionism. It's a real problem, you know. But you don't solve it by pretending, okay, that flaw is okay, because it's not. And that it always needs to be fixed. And so we're just really saying it's we're in a world full of error code, and we have to be, we can't fix all of it on the same day. You know, we can't fix all of the programs that are defective. We have to take it, you know, our step at a time, and we have to work at a rate that, you know, is compatible with us staying physically fit and all of that nonsense. So, yeah. Let's just concede that it's a problem, but I mean, it's a problem that usually people can figure out how much they're able to contribute. And if all they can contribute is pulling the lever on voting day, well, that's okay with me, okay? That's the biggest one. So as long as you pull the lever right, as long as you vote right, you don't have to do any more work. I mean, all you have to do is raise your hand when they say, is it time to stop? No mas? And they say, yes, no mas. That's all they have to do. So, I mean, you know, you don't have to shoot the dog. You don't have to bury the dog. You don't have to clean up the dog, you know, the rabies on the wall and shit. You don't have to do any of this work. You just have to acknowledge that, yes, it was the right thing to do. Yes, the dog needed to be shot. Sad and tragic, but yes, it needed to be done. So that's the extent of how much you have to take on as a burden. The burden, you know, you don't have to be in the, you don't have to be in the foxhole. You don't have to be any of it. You just have to vote for the war. Fuck.
An extreme, you know, because that's not possible. But I'm just saying, like, to be engaged on that level would be crazy. But then to be completely, you know, with viewing everything from like a universal view, or where you, it would make you a psycho. Like, you wouldn't. Why?
So again, I just completely disagree that that's, you know, the implications of accepting the terms of reality. That you will, you have to live your subjective personal life, you know, and you have to create an environment that's the right temperature and comfortable and all these things. But you can know that all this other stuff is much more important, you know. And so you can philosophically understand that and say, there's times I'm going to devote myself to my obligations to planet Earth, all the living beings. And then there's times when I have to devote my attention to my personal needs. Okay, so you figure out a way to do that balance. I don't think that's asking too much. And again, the bottom line is what we're really talking about is understanding there's a rabid dog in the shed. And, you know, that has to be dealt with. So as long as you're dealing with the real problem, again, you don't have to do the shooting. You don't have to clean up the blood. You don't have to do any of the work. You just have to vote for the work getting done.
Why would you care about anything? You know, that, and I'm certainly not arguing for that, but I am saying that a person needs to figure out when to focus in and when to, I don't know, what's the word for when you're fucking, it's not...
Escapism! That's it. You know. I won't drink, I'll, you know, do something else. I'll philosophically escape. You know, I'll find a catch, you know, so I can jump off the janitor train. Because I don't want to be a janitor. I don't want to be in the foxhole. I don't want to be a soldier. I don't want to be a pawn. I don't want to be, you know, something that's goddamn necessary, frankly. Somebody's got to do it. Okay, I mean, somebody's got to be the guy who's going first into the jungle full of, you know, bad guys. You know, all right, you don't want to be the point man. You know, how far back do you want to stand? And almost seems like you want to stand all the way off, you know. You want to vote the other way because they give you candy bars. Almost.
Like, pull out. I don't want to keep saying pull out. All right, I mean, come on. And I is it magnification back? What's the fucking word for when you're, I don't know, when you're not right. I don't know words. I'm not.
Objective and subjective. No. Is what, you know, you're kind of talking about, is that, you know, you have to live a subjective life, okay, personally feel and personally interact, but you can understand objectively your role in a much bigger system full of interactions and feelings, and it's the two of them aren't very compatible. If you start trying to solve big problems, you won't be able to solve the little ones, and vice versa. If you're obsessed solving little ones, you're not going to solve any big ones.
Great with words, apparently. I'm doing jazz up here, people. You know, I'm bebopping. I'm I'm spitting out theories and hot takes. But my point is part of my point is this, like.
Yeah, well, if I could afford to something else, gas escaping from balloons or something. But anyway, that's okay too. I mean, it's real, okay, and it's, you know, that's philosophy has to come from, you know, all the art. You know, there's the precision philosophy, and then there's something less precision, technically precise and minimally efficient. And minimally efficient is okay. I mean, you know, just get the red in the right place and the blue in the right place, and, you know, the lines are a little blurry, so no big deal. So I'm not, you know, just saying that some of that needs order. See, I mean, you titled the video Focus, and it's just one word, and it's precise. And, you know, it's not foggy. It's not focus, pocus, nocus, pocus. You know, it's not mixed with a whole bunch of other words that indicate it's not focused. You know, so I guess it should be more focused if you're going to talk about focus. Yeah, but anyway, it's okay.
I don't know what my great-great-great-great-grandfather was up to. I have no idea. I don't even know the I don't even know the dude's name. I don't know, you know, but his day...
I saw some pictures, frankly, and you're just like, gee, I wouldn't want to know these people. Holy shit, did they look crazy. But anyway, just my impression.
It was not unimportant. His day was full of very important... there were so many things happening.
Yeah, wife beating, animal killing. You know, they really did look like, you know... I would not want to hang out with them people.
You know, there were probably stories of heroism and you know, just things that I wouldn't believe. You know, depending on which great-great-great-great-grandfather I'm, you know, I would choose to focus on. But his life is not remembered. And you know, this probably isn't true of all families. You know, some people... you know, have family lore.
Oh, I know, but isn't much of that family lore just bullshit when you find out the truth, right? I mean, come on. You know, how many fathers of the year weren't very good fathers? You know, I mean, it's how much bullshit is the story versus the reality. So, but what's the difference? It really, I mean, the point to be made is there's all this life living that isn't part of people's accounting of reality. It's not in the story. So all the stories are just, oh, and they lived happily ever after. You know, well, no, they got cancer and died horribly. All of those accounts are not in the story. You know, people aren't really, there's probably not too many people, okay, like myself, who sit around and try to calculate all of the suffering of, say, just the plague. You know, how many people dying horribly. And you say, well, how much is that really worth? I mean, how many great Broadway plays is that worth? Right? I mean, you know, what on the planet would I build or create, okay, and pay the plague price for it? You know, is baseball worth the plague? You know, can anything survive the... put plague on this side of the scale, and now let's put the good stuff over here. I mean, can I find enough good stuff to compensate for the plague? I don't, you know. So there's not too many people doing that, but I would argue that that's what we really should be doing, is accounting for millions of years of horror and torment and torture, because that's what's been paid for our song and dance. And there's no way our song and dance is worth what's been paid for it. And it's no prospect that the future is going to come up with something that's going to be worth it either. It's not going to come up with something new and better. It's just going to find some way to synthetically, you know, jizz in its pants. I mean, it's not going to be, it really isn't going to get any better than that. And how much of that do you put on the other side of the scale and say, okay, that makes up for the plague? Come on, too silly
stuff. But even that's like, you know, but his life was no less meaningful than my own.
This is the tricky stuff. Meaningful in what way? Again, it's not the same value. There's no point in saying what's the meaning of the axe murderer's life, or, you know, yeah, we're all conscious animals, cat, dog, frog, whatever, and we'll all have a story to tell. But frankly, the stories are rather redundant. You know, shit happens, and then more shit happens. More shit happens, and then you're dead. And for what? Oh, that's right. Just to have shit happen.
But all of his goings on, all of his choices, you know, of course, led to me on some level. But, you know, they're washed. They're gone. And with that information, I understand that the same is true for me. And not that I'm focused on everything ending. I'm just incorporating that into my psychology, that everything ends. I mean,
all right, so let's say the ending, though, was he dramatically suffered in some horrid, awful way, okay, in dying. Okay, so he died in this horrific way. Would you really say then that, okay, it all just ended and that's the end and that's all there was? There was nothing else to the story. So then you'd recognize it was whose price paid for this, you know, this existence, and all of that has to be part of the price we pay. So again, if he died in a war and, you know, he got shot and it took 6 years for him to die of the bullet wound, you know, in some kind of horrible way, wouldn't that you be basically saying, well, we have to account for that sacrifice and we have to account for that value, that real value that was lost. We had to pay. That's payment. Now we have to figure out, what are we purchasing with our payment? What are we buying with that price? And I would argue we're humiliating the price, because we're not buying anything of value.
People appear to me to live as if we are immortal, that this is some long-running story where we are of some great import. No. I mean, you are to you.
It is a long-running story, and it is, we all are of great import as conscious beings in need of comfort. So again, I know what to say, that, yeah, I guess I fundamentally disagree that that isn't part of the truth, that it's important, okay, and it is redundant. And that's the whole point, that we have to take the redundancy out of it, because we've been there and done this, and we've done it enough, and we've been ripped off enough, okay? We can't keep buying the same lemon life over and over and over again. Paying way, way, way too much for way, way, way too little.
And again, it's a focus thing. Like, of course, all of my dealings are a lot important. In my last video where I talked about my grandfather, you know, his planning and this, like, it was important that he planned. It was important that he made sure things were okay for him and his wife and his kids as best he could, you know? So that he wouldn't have some of the worst practical outcomes during his time. But then, on a larger scale, maybe he could have had an opportunity to be a little more at peace, understanding.
Yes, I'm just saying that I'm all for people being, you know, rigidly devoted to the purpose of philosophical truth. Chase the truth, grab the truth, hold the truth wherever you can. And yes, it gets windy and it tries to shake you off and you know, all this kind of stuff. And yes, don't get killed holding on to it, but yes, do anything short of that. And because there's great value in the truth. All right. So try. Is that asking too much? Try. Try to be a soldier. You know, maybe you can just do the part where, well, I'll get coffee for the soldiers, you know, and some cookies. You know, maybe you can't do the soldiering thing, but you can still do everything. You can still do plenty to contribute to the cause. And it's the cause that matters. And the cause is a philosophical, comes from philosophical realization of reality. And you can't do both. You can't sit there and slander the truth for your convenience, that is your own personal comfort, and make up fake stories of reality and say, I'm going to blend my personal convenience stories into truth and push the truth away so I can create the whole universe as me. That's cheating. That's breaking it. So I'm saying accept the fact that the truth sucks, okay, but live your personal life as if it doesn't. Fine. No objection to that.
His place in all of this. I don't know. I know it gives me peace. And
right, so we know, well, I'm just saying, I think everybody knows that there are things that they can do in their life that can make them comfortable enough to get through the, you know, the next day. They can, you know, I plant flowers. Yeah, I like it. You know, probably more because it's a Mengele experiment, you know, where, you know, genetically you're just seeing what you can make the next year's flowers look like. So that's probably part of it, and they're different little ego things. But yeah, I like it. I mean, it's a nice distraction from reality. You're in the sun and the blah, blah, blah outside and dirt. And yeah, I like that. So yeah, I have to do certain things to, you know, keep me interested. You know, the scent of a woman kind of thing. You have to have some kind of, you know, personal incentive to keep playing. And it can't be all bad. It can't be all gristle. You can't be chewing on zero calories. So somewhere you have to eat a yo-yo or a ho-ho or a hoo-hoo. You know, you have to have some prospect of something other than gruel. But yeah, you manage that. It's not, you know, you just don't live next to the gruel. You know, you don't live next to the, you know, tasty cake factory and just sit there and eat ho-hos. Like I said, all parts of our life, we know we can't do, you know, we can't indulge. We can't, you know, we can't just, I like taking a bath, so I'll just take a bath 24/7. Yeah, we know you can't do that.
I'm simply bringing that up to anyone listening that maybe this would be something that would be useful to you too, this perspective I have. But you know, my own life, all of my experiences, stuff that you know, like I said, these credits don't transfer. Like the stuff that I'm living or believing in are motivating me. I can speak those to you, but there is no guarantee that these will mean anything to anyone else.
Right, but you do have to articulate them. And I guess what I'm saying is, to me, the real theme is fear. You know, you've got to worry for the future, and if you're not doing that, yes, you're going to be totally unmotivated. Okay, so you really have to recognize that your own stake in it, so to speak. I mean, this, you know, probably the strongest part of my motivation is me empathizing with the future beings and recognizing them as myself, and how pissed off I would be in the future to say, Jesus fucking Christ, they just kept doing it over and over again. You know, when would they put an end? They never put an end to this nonsense. They just keep stepping in the same shit, and I'm the one who has to eat it. You know, they step in it, put it in their pocket, and then shove it down my throat. I mean, fuck this game we're playing. And so clearly that's the responsibility. I'm saving myself from having to be the future poo eater.
And it may, you know, to some people, the value that they have for me, these ideas, and not that, anyway, it might have some utility, but all of my experiences are, I also incorporate the reality that they're just, you know, I'm a flavor of this time right now. I'm just in the mix, but I will be food for this thing too. I mean, we're all going to be consumed.
Right. And so I'm just, the philosophical argument basically is that there's a world and we influence it. I think you recognize that. Now the question is, what does it need to be influenced to be? And I would argue it first needs to be influenced to recognize you're not winning, okay? And the future knows you're not winning. And it's going to hate your guts for pretending you're winning when you're not. And they're going to have to eat the gruel you are serving up now. You know, your deficit spending, your unsustainable this, your all this crap that you're just ignored, that somehow I can feed on something, the future's pain and suffering. I mean, these are real concepts, real ideas about what's going on. And, you know, idiocracy isn't a good thing. It's going to cost the future a lot.
And all of these hopes and dreams, all of these things that I've been through, all of these things that I want will disappear like tears and rain until next time.
Yeah, sorry. So that's funny to you. Sorry, it disappear. So again, it doesn't, as long as somebody knows the story. And it's not about remembering something, right? It's about acknowledging that it happened. Remembering the Civil War doesn't... Oh, that's not the horror. The horror was being in the Civil War. The horror was, the event. And, this isn't about remembering. It's about acknowledging. Acknowledging it's a real price paid. A huge, gigantic, monstrous price paid. Because you paid it doesn't mean you didn't pay it. I mean, the deficit is real and it has to be accounted for if you're going to do any accounting, if you're going to pretend to do anything in terms of a value equation. It's nonsense to say anything that happens to a dead person, anything that happened to them in their life doesn't count. Yeah. That just is... Sorry. No sale. All right, anyway. So, enough of a video, I think. And, it's an hour. Just about right. And, yeah. So, again, I like Christopher Seven. And, I like his thoughtfulness, lots of stuff. But, there does seem to be a catch here somewhere in terms of a overview. So it's not so much about the focus as it is the big picture. And I'm not sure what his big picture is. Does he include all of time? The whole story. Is the whole story of the maze game the big picture? Or is it just a frame by frame? And so as long as we someday create a frame that has less Civil War in it, that somehow it's okay now because we have a good frame. One frame where it's not hideously horrible. I mean, does he think that can really fix it? And that's enough of a preventive? Again, so, there's no conversation here really in any of the meat, for me, which is this story is really about what nature is doing. We're a tiny piece of veneer, little coating of paint on this giant elephant. We're a hair. Probably a bad example is that elephants aren't that hairy. But anyway, that's, to me, that's a huge part of the truth. That there's all these consciousnesses on Earth and they're just deficient in silly ways. They just can't calculate as well as us and they don't have a vocabulary, so they can't do all these abstractions and play with words. But they are every day enduring, the meat, the substance of our experience. Just as entitled to be included in the value equation. All right, and an awful lot of them are getting mass murdered every moment of our existence, every second. Just the insane numbers of attrition, insane holocausts taking place. Insane. Just a completely, an insane amount of wasted torture. And just the idea of wasted torture, just the idea of that being a possibility should trigger any human with any kind of logical processing and anything like a reasonable sensibilities. It should trigger concern. Wasted torture? Oh, must stop that. Okay. So that should be enough of a video. All right. So until the next time and such. I think that's what we'll just slide out of here. So this has been a Do Not God video presentation. And till the next time and such. And so forth and whatnot.